Take a drive in the country in our region, and there's a good chance you'll see a few weather-beaten structures out there in the farms and orchards still doing the work they were constructed for decades ago. You can call them old barns, but the preferred term in Oregon, within a certain category, is heritage barns. The agency Restore Oregon takes note of heritage barns and works with their owners to keep those barns standing and maybe even spruced up a little. In fact, Restore Oregon offers a heritage barn workshop at Hanley Farm near Jacksonville on Saturday, which gives us a chance here to ask a few questions about the barns and their care. Patty Moretti is the executive director of Restore Oregon and one of our guests on The Exchange. Welcome, Patty.
Actually, it's Peggy, but good morning.
Peggy, sorry. I knew I was going to do that.
That's okay. Good morning.
Good morning. And Brandon Spencer Hartell is with us as well. He served on the management committee for the Century Barn Farm and Ranch Program. Welcome, Brandon.
Hi, Jeff.
Got your name right, didn't I?
You did.
Okay, good. Peggy, start us off and just let us know a little bit about Restore Oregon and what it is and how it came to be.
Well, Restore Oregon is a nonprofit. We work statewide on all sorts of historic places. Our mission is literally to save historic places. And by save, we mean preserve, reuse, and pass them forward to future generations. And certainly our wonderful heritage barns are a big part of that story.
So when we talk about a heritage barn, what's the general set of definitions it has to fit to be considered a heritage barn?
Well, I would say they need to be more than 50 years old to be considered historic, whether it's a barn or any other structure, but particularly we're focusing on barns that are pre-1900. And in the case of Hanley Farm Barn, it is the oldest one in Southern Oregon dating back to the 1850s. So I think one of the things we're very aware of is that the Oregon Trail Pioneer Era, which kind of ended in the at the end of the 1860s, are very much at risk and very, very few of them left standing. So we're really working hard to bring special attention to them.
Well, I noticed Restore Oregon also has a Most Endangered Places program. What's that about?
Yes. The Endangered Places list is a list of historic places that are nominated by folks from all over the state, and they represent places of particular significance, historic significance, and also those that are at risk of being lost for one reason or another, whether it's the encroachment of new development or just, hard times. And what we do is we really try to throw a spotlight on those places and then rally resources to restore and reuse them. The idea is to take a very constructive, supportive approach, and we've had some pretty good successes so far. There's always at least one barn on that list, so clearly they're very beloved, and they have their own unique set of challenges when it comes to saving them.
So you say that there's usually at least one barn on the list. Is it usually an old house or something? I noticed in particular in the Portland papers that there's a lot of discussion about people buying property so that they can tear the houses down and build new ones.
Mm-hmm. The list includes all kinds of structures, from barns to homes to could be an old factory or a mill. It could be any type of historic building, commercial buildings, schools, theaters. So they really run the gamut from kind of the main street buildings on out to the more rural to residential as well. And they're endangered for all different kinds of reasons. So we have to approach each one in a very specific way, and we do kind of put information on each one of those places on our website.
And Brandon Spencer Hartell, tell us about the Century Farm and Ranch Program, please.
Sure thing. So Oregon recognized that we had some really important rural agricultural heritage as early as 1958. And as part of the centennial exercises here in Portland and around the state, the Oregon Historical Society created something called the Oregon Century Farm and Ranch Program. And what that program did was honor families who have worked the same piece of land for 100 years in that same family. And since 1958, 1,156 farms and ranches have been listed as a century farm. And actually, we've got about 25 sesquicentennial farms now that are 150 years in the same family and on the same piece of land. And where our barn's efforts started to come into place was about 5 years ago, 4 years ago, we recognized that there are a lot of people, some of whom are century farm owners, some of whom are the general public, some are just everyday owners of a historic or older farm, who recognize that even though we do a good job honoring families who have agricultural history and agricultural heritage, there weren't programs in place to protect those historic buildings on a century farm because Century Farm Program was set up just to be an honorific designation with a great sign and a lot of really good press. but that we saw that there was an opportunity to step in and start to say, okay, well, how do we steward the historic places that make up a century farm?
In some cases, have the century farms themselves been adapted a bit over time? I mean, they put up newer metal pole sheds, things like that, that are not really characteristic of older farms?
Absolutely, and I think that's both one of the opportunities and the challenges of working with barns as opposed to a great Victorian house or that Main Street commercial building, is that these are places that have adapted for 80, 100, or 150 years to meet the needs of a changing agricultural experience, agricultural market here in Oregon. One of the biggest challenges we face is how do we adapt barns to current needs? How do we keep a barn in service so that it's not just a vacant icon sitting in the landscape, but it's actually part of the agricultural production and has an income stream that keeps it with a roof and keeps it with siding and keeps it as part of not just history, but as an ongoing legacy.
So how do you work to make a barn that was built for a previous era in American life adaptable to today's world? I mean, do barns get obsolete because of the way they're arranged inside, perhaps? I mean, when you think about the world that existed 100, 150 years ago, I mean, among other things, we don't have nearly as much cropland devoted to feeding animals to pull us around anymore because we have cars and trucks. So much has changed.
Indeed, and barns were very much purpose-built. Some of the and I have to confess first, you're talking to two city slickers here, so our real knowledge of agricultural history is limited to what our constituents have shared with us. But our understanding is that obviously the machinery, the whole technique in agriculture has changed a lot, and so in many cases the historic barns are obsolete and they start to get used just for storage or so forth. But some of them are adaptable, and some of them are adaptable to completely new uses. They've been turned into winery visitor centers. One of our members has a wonderful place down on the outskirts of Medford that is a beautiful winery visitor center. Another has or event space. Occasionally, more on the East Coast probably, they're converted into residential sometimes. So, some of the ways you look at these at repurposing these places is occasionally to look outside of their original use and see if there's something else we can do with them.
We're talking to Peggy Moretti, the executive director of Restore Oregon, and Brandon Spencer Hartel, who served on the management committee for the Century Barn Farm and Ranch Program. You can join us in the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about old barns and old farms around the region. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, or by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So the workshop on Saturday is primarily for people who are owners of heritage barns? I mean, who are the people we're holding this for?
So it's a great question. And one of the things that we've learned is that with barns, there's a host of characters who love barns. And they're not just the owners, but they're the people who are on a landmarks commission, or they're the people who have always wanted to learn a little bit more about how a barn was built, or how in 1854 did they erect a timber frame structure in the middle of nowhere, Jackson County, and build a standing barn that's still here 150 years later. So we've designed a workshop, and this will be our second annual event. Last year was in Corvallis, where we've provided programming for people who are new to the field of historic preservation, for people who maybe have experience with other historic buildings but not barns, and also for barn owners and people who may want to purchase a barn and look at adaptively reusing it or look at new ways to bring life to historic barns. So our day on Saturday will be a combination of educational presentations and a bit of history about barns, and also opportunities to get your hands dirty learning how to hew a timber. Our keynote speaker is coming down from the Mount Hood area, who's a timber framer. His name is David Rogers, and his passion and his career is building timber frame structures and rehabilitating those buildings that were built prior to the easy access to dimensional lumber and prior to easy access to transportation, where they truly were built by hand using a timber frame. And David will be on site to teach everybody who's at the workshop how do you hew a log, and how was it done in 1854, and how does he do it today?
Well, yeah, that's the big difference, is you're not going to go down to Home Depot and pick up a couple of 4x6s mm-hmm. and just get started that way. You're taking the stuff from your own property and having to cut it down to size. Were some of these constructed, Brandon, without nails and things like that? Were they just all notched together?
So with the Hanley Farm barn and with many of the barns we see around the Willamette Valley and in Douglas County that were built during that pioneer period, is that the frame, truly the frame, is timber frame with what they call mortise and tenon joinery and trunnels as nails. There were nails in the roofing material and things like that, but the main structure of the building holds up in large part without nails for some of these earliest barns. One of the challenges we face is how do you find the financing to take on a barn rehabilitation project? Some people, it's a labor of love, and they can do it over the course of a decade or 5 years on their own. But other people, like our friends in Medford with the Roxy Ann Winery at the Hillcrest Farm, look at these barns as an economic opportunity and as a real estate asset. So one of our biggest challenges is how do we find the funding to actually bring a barn back to life? And that's going to be one of the topics on Saturday.
And what are some of the answers then? For funding.
What we've got in Oregon is we've got a slate of programs that help nonprofit barn owners with what's called the Preserving Oregon Grant and the Diamonds in the Rough Grant that can help either public agencies or nonprofits who have barns, which many do, and even in urban areas have holdout barns that are sort of lone icons in suburbia. We also have a couple of tax incentives here in Oregon. We have a federal rehabilitation tax credit of 20% and a state property tax special assessment that lasts for 10 years. But what we're seeing is that those programs might not quite be enough.
One of the things that Restore Oregon is launching is a big initiative for some state legislation in the upcoming session. We're calling it the State Historic Rehabilitation Incentive that would offer some rebates and some financial assistance to folks who are restoring historic commercial buildings, of which barns would be included, both Main Street buildings and other commercial buildings, so that they can address issues of seismic or just other general restoration and energy efficiency issues and put these things back into productive service for, you know, 5 or 6 more decades. So that's something we're feeling is a real missing piece in the toolkit here in Oregon to affect the preservation and reuse of our historic main streets and our agricultural buildings.
Has there already been some activity from the legislature in recent years to help with the Heritage Barn Program?
No, not that I know of. We haven't had any specifically designated programs that were targeting just barns. Other states have.
And that's, Peggy mentioned other states. One of the examples we look to, and maybe it's sacrilegious to say this, but we look up to Washington State, who has a barn rehabilitation program where their legislature has recognized that barns in Washington State are important, and they're important for agriculture and important for heritage tourism. So that state is allocating about $250,000 a year in barn matching grants to owners who keep their barn in agricultural service and commit to designating their barn as a historic place.
Do you run into issues if you're restoring a historic barn, Brandon, where you want to bring it up to date? I mean, make it a little easier to maintain, for example, but you run the risk of it not being described as a historic barn anymore because you've changed it so drastically in structure, for example?
Right, and that's one of the challenges with all preservation, and barns are no different. We and the preservation world have something called the Secretary of the Interior Standards, which are sort of a 10 commandments for how to work on your historic building. And barns are challenging because some people feel like you should put an original shake roof on the building. Others think that a standing seam metal roof is the right way to go. So there's a bit of an academic discussion in our world about what's the right approach. And here at Restore Oregon, and just like they've done over in Washington State with their grant program, we recognize that barns are a little bit different than your kind of quintessential Victorian house, or they're different than your arts and crafts bungalow that has a lot of exterior character that needs to be preserved exactly as it is to tell that story. Barns always have adapted and will continue to adapt. And we'll use that example of the Roxy Ann Winery again in Medford, where they've taken the exterior of the barn and restored that in what was basically its original look and feel. But as soon as you walk into that building and there's a bar and a wine tasting room and tables and chairs and meeting rooms, that inside of the barn still is a barn. It still feels like a barn, but it did adapt to modern building codes and adapt to a modern use. So that's what we look at, is what's the right balance between keeping the character of the building but also allowing it to be flexible enough to serve as something new and something that people will appreciate and value in an economic sense.
We are talking about heritage barns in the state of Oregon and a heritage barns workshop coming up this weekend at Hanley Farm near Jacksonville with Brandon Spencer Hartel from the Century Farm and Ranch Program and Peggy Moretti, who is now the Executive Director of Restore Oregon. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 around the region in the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Peggy, in the case of what we're talking about, restoration projects on existing structures, I mean, are there any proscriptions on materials or tools or things like that? I mean, obviously they didn't have power saws back in the 1850s, but they're available now. So therefore, could you use them and still make a fairly faithful restoration to an existing structure?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I mean, the intention of preservation is not to, you know, put a glass dome over it and freeze it in amber or something like that. It's certainly there's latitude and flexibility. The Brandon referenced these standards that we strive to follow, and they're very common sense when you think about it. The idea is to preserve and as much of the original material as is possible, and when things are way too far gone, too far damaged to reuse or keep in place, for instance, a window, then the idea is to replace it in kind with similar quality of materials and obviously the look the look and feel of the thing must be the same as the original historic piece. And but adaptive reuse is kind of the name of the game these days. There has to be some degree of flexibility. So maintaining integrity of the structure, absolutely, but knowing that it has to have some flexibility.
Brandon, are there any cases where a barn is just too far gone to get some rehab? I asked this just because a couple of days ago I drove past one on Foothills Road in northeast Medford and saw one that the roof was just completely see-through.
You know, that's a great question, and the honest answer is it depends on who you ask. Last year we had our barns workshop up in Corvallis at an 1870 timber frame barn that any normal, sane person would look at and say, that barn is too far gone. But yeah, the city of Corvallis and a group of preservationists have identified that this barn and the surrounding 200 acres would make a perfect agricultural education center for youth and adults in Corvallis and in all of Benton County to do, similar to the Hanley Farm, to learn about agriculture and to do outdoor activities that are place-based and grounded in what was it like to live in the 1850s, but also how is agriculture done today. And that barn received a small grant from us here at Restore Oregon that was matched by the Oregon Cultural Trust. And now the city of Corvallis, just a year later, is well into the planning process of how to first stabilize to get through this winter and then to fully rehabilitate that barn as an educational space that the people in Corvallis are asking for. So it really depends. If you have a good use for a barn and the structure of it is still there, the buildings are surprisingly adaptable. And we've got good examples from all around Oregon of places that, you know, most people would have said are too far gone, and now today we look at it and say, you know what, we're glad we kept that around. We're glad that that opportunity for reusing it was still here when the person or the vision came along.
So you just mentioned a grant from Restore Oregon that's helping that process along. Peggy Moretti, how big can some of the grants be? I mean, what's the most anybody could hope to get to help them restore a historic structure, and what kinds of steps do they have to go through to get to that point?
Well, unfortunately, I would love to have a much bigger pot of grant money to share, but we have a very limited amount, and it is designated to go towards the most endangered places properties. So it's a seed grant of $2,500 that has to be matched with either money or in-kind labor or services. And excuse me, the whole intention is to have that seed grant start the ball rolling on that whole preservation journey. But the other thing we do then is help consult with folks to identify other sources of grants and funding. So our money is really a seed grant, and it's part of the larger strategy that we help these property owners arrive at for a preservation plan. And I think that is really the key to these things being being saved, is that you have to have an identified use for them. You don't try to turn these things into museums. If they have a productive use, then you can almost always find the funding in one form or another that will get you through the preservation process.
Are there federal grants, for example, that can be had through various agricultural subsidies and things like that?
Not often. In our experience, there is not a lot of grant money out there for privately owned properties. Mm-hmm. Grants tend to be restricted to nonprofits or government-owned entities. And so it is a little difficult. That's why our effort for the state rehabilitation incentive is so important, because private property owners, which is, let's face it, where most of the historic buildings are under private ownership, they need that additional tool, that additional support. So that's why we're going after that.
Brandon, how many people are you geared to take at this barn workshop this weekend? And if somebody's interested, how much do they have to pay, and what sorts of tools do they have to bring or
great,
supplies?
Great questions. So one of the challenges we have is there are a lot of people interested in barns, and there are actually 11,400 barns in Oregon that were built before 1960. So the pool of people interested in barns and who own barns is a really big pool. Because of our speakers and because of the space limitations, we can handle about 50 people down there at Hanley Farm this weekend. We still have a few tickets available. If you go to restoreoregon.org/events, you'll find a webpage where you can purchase a ticket to the barn workshop for $35. And all you need to bring is a pad of paper and a pen and pencil, and we'll supply the rest of the materials.
Okay, so people are going to learn how to use things like draw knives and spoke shaves and adzes, I would think.
They are going to learn all of that. They're also going to learn how to go out and actually size up a barn. So to determine that question you asked, is it too far gone? And also to learn a little bit about how do you describe a barn? What are the key elements? What's the difference between a joist and a board and batten siding? And what are the different roofing materials? So I think it's going to be a great opportunity for everybody to learn a little bit more about a building type that we all think we know, but there's a lot more to it.
All right. Interested listeners should go to restoreoregon.org/events if they're interested in the workshop. Peggy Moretti is the executive director of Restore Oregon. Brandon Spencer Hartel served on the management committee for the Century Farm and Ranch program. Thank you both for joining us today on The Exchange.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff.